It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Grandy, if I were to ask you what the win meant for the franchise, the 49ers franchise, big picture, over the Eagles, and then if they were to beat the Seahawks, what would that mean? You know what I mean? Like, what did that win over the Eagles mean in regards to the entire season and kind of where the franchise is?
I think it was just like the sign that this is an organization that can fight through a lot of things not going right that are really out of their control. And I think it's a major, major compliment to Kyle Shanahan and to John Lynch. And people throw around the word culture a lot, but I do think this has something to do with that. And I think I know where you're going, Sonny, because I heard some of your guys' conversation. Is this about it being a special season?
Well, just, you know, how we would define it if they, now that they've won a playoff game and overcome all these injuries, and what would it mean if they go up to Seattle and win?
I think if they win in Seattle, then I would start being willing to accept that this is a special season. But the win in Philly doesn't make it a special season for me yet. I think just winning one playoff game, despite it being against all odds and against the defending champs on the road, that's not enough for it to be special. Special to me wins means at least a couple playoff wins and making a conference title game. I don't know of anything before that.
Dibs,
can be special.
I said if they beat Seattle, they can win the bowl. I'll believe they can win it all.
Well,
if
they'd
you
be halfway
win
there,
one.
Yeah. Oh, and honestly, if the Bears are able to beat the Rams, we were talking about this in our impromptu show meeting because you got to have a show meeting every day. And if they go play the Bears, they're probably 3.5-point dogs, maybe 4. You go to L.A., you're probably 5.5 or 6. Yeah. And coming out of the AFC, depending on who it is, in your building, you might only be 3-point dogs. So of the 3 games remaining, to me, this is the toughest.
I said this to Steiny, this might be the real Philly, Seattle. You know what I mean? They're together. Their defense just did you in 2 weeks ago. And that's what fascinates me. How are you going to, in a quick fashion, show us that you can go to the lab and, well, Trent Williams is a start. He wasn't in that game a couple weeks ago. So,
but you're not going to have George Kittle this time.
Yeah. But you had him. You didn't have him when, well, he went out the game early week one.
Yeah, you had him 2 weeks ago when you scored 3 points. What I will say, though, Goo, is say they beat Seattle, say they beat the Rams or whoever, and say they win the Super Bowl. That would be the most special postseason run that I think I've ever seen in the NFL.
I'm in that line.
I know we're 3 wins away from that, and it's a very long way away, but you consider saying you got to do it in Philly, in Seattle, and maybe in L.A. versus the Rams. I think clearly probably the 3 best teams in the NFC, I think, all year long.
Exactly.
And then you do it against the Buffalo Bills or the Broncos or the Patriots out of the AFC.
I think that'll be the easiest part.
Probably.
Yeah.
But that would be the most improbable, considering what your team has been through, run in postseason history.
It's fascinating because Stani and I, just with what we do in the words, I can watch Shawshank Redemption say it's the best movie ever. Diff can say, you know what, it was all right. And that he difference of opinion.
I would never say that.
But
great
it's
movie.
Incredible. But Stani and I were just having a conversation, Dibs and Grandin, you tell me what you think. I think the Niners are in the midst of what I deem a magical run, and I believe it started this season with what they had to endure and overcome. And Stani didn't say I'm wrong, but he wouldn't use the word magical. Do you have a problem calling it one, a run? And I think that gets validated by beating Philly, whatever they had going on. Nobody expected it. But I think they're on a magical run, right, to be in this spot.
They're on a run. I mean, I wouldn't say it's magical yet. You're one of 8 teams remaining, and you're big-time underdogs at Seattle. I think it's now 7.5.
Wow.
And so if you pull this one off, and I did the numbers yesterday on teams that are 6-point dogs more on the road in the playoffs, you basically don't win. You don't win those games. You cover, but you usually don't win very often. So that's what they're facing historically, but if you beat Seattle, now we can start talk about maybe possible magic. But right now, the word I would use is impressive. And you went to Philly, and you lost Kittle, and you already didn't have Bosa and Warner. You had 2 guys we've never heard of playing linebacker who played
Liquor
awesome.
Liquor Store 7. It's
right?
Frank from Atlanta.
Frank was so good with that yesterday.
Yeah.
And yet, you beat Philly. And I heard it today, Steiny, from Shanahan in his press conference. There was a certain amount of satisfaction in his voice. Not that he's like ready to call it a season, but he sounded like not giddy, but he was making jokes and you know, talk about I'm gonna go brush my teeth and stuff. Actually, I already did that because you know, it's what I do and stuff. And he sounded like
I already did
relaxed
it.
And totally at peace with, hey, it's a short week, but whatever. It's the cards we were dealt. We're going to go out there and, you know, give it our all.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is perfect because do I think the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl? I don't. But if they forget winning the Super Bowl, do I think they're going to get to the Super Bowl? Probably not. But they, but like, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. If they beat the Eagles, the Seahawks, and the Rams on the road, then like there's nothing to talk about anymore. Then they deserve to be the NFC rep. They can win the Super Bowl. And then we can start talking, or not start, but then, you know, then magical season is right at your fingertips. And maybe we'll look back if they lose the Super Bowl and say it was a magical season. But I agree with Grandy. There's something about that win that was like, he called it culture. I use the word brand. And it's like, okay, so Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. So if you look at Pro Football Reference and you look at his stats, it'll say like lost wild card, lost division, lost conference finals. And I'll bet if you go back and try to pick out what happened that one year, they'd be like, I'm not really sure. I think this is the kind of year that maybe 5 or 6 years from now, we'll look back at this team, no matter how they finish, assuming they don't win the Super Bowl, and we'll be like, oh, remember, that's the year they got to the playoffs when everybody got hurt and nobody expected anything out of them, and they went into Philly, and it'll be like, it's just kind of what you expect from franchises like the 49ers or the Steelers or the Patriots back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't dismiss them because of who they are as a franchise and their head coach, et cetera.
And I think that looking back at this season, if it ends on Saturday or whenever it ends, the words I'm going to use are building blocks, because you had all these drafted babies and they've all had to play and they've all gotten better. And your defense, with all the losses, should have been worse than it is. Your quarterback that everybody was criticizing that you're paying him $53 million, and you're not paying him $53 million yet. That's next year. But it's hard to look at what he's done and not say he's a real one. And what you still have on this team, you're going to have coming back. Kittle, I know, will be out until October or November. Who knows? But I look at this team with building blocks. Your coach is amazing. Your quarterback's a real one. And you know, you went out in an injury-plagued year, and you won 12, actually make it 13 now. So you got something to build on no matter what.
No doubt. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's one thing Guru and I were just starting to get into at the end, and maybe we'll save it for tomorrow, is, yes, like how much carryover, whether they win or lose against Seattle, it's been a real good season. What kind of carryover, if any, do you expect for next year? Like, do you say, well, we got this far this year, and now we got all our guys coming back, we should be better? Because it's going to be hard to win 13 games next year, no matter.
But you can say if the bottom falls out, we'll still be afloat. That's how I'm looking at the Niners moving forward. And you got to believe it. Yeah, a tougher schedule's already coming. But the fact that you can still be in this position with everything that's gone wrong, I think that's what Kyle is flexing on the league. Like, yeah, I don't think, you know what I'm saying? All this bad luck, I turned into good fortune.
Well, it's interesting because I think this year also gives you a look into maybe what's most important. Like, what are the most important characteristics of a team that Shanahan has to have to be successful? Because you could argue it's not great wide receivers. Definitely not that, because they got right there.
You don't need Mahomes. Trotting out, like Brock.
Trotting out wide receiver threes and fours, like guys that are not wide receiver ones or twos at any point in their career. You don't need, you know, the best of the best at quarterback, but you need a guy you trust and that can anticipate and all of that. And Brock's a very good quarterback, not elite, 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 but a very good quarterback. You need that, but you don't need necessarily maybe the best tight end in the NFL. I know, of course, Kittle makes you better, but they won a game in Philly where he got hurt in the first half. They survived him missing more than a month this season, and they won some football games there. They don't need all pros all over the place defensively, but what do they need? I think Shanahan needs a great defensive coordinator, guy that he trusts, and he needs an all-pro dual-threat weapon at running back, which he has currently. But what happens if McCaffrey has an injury plague next year after having 450 touches this year? And what happens if Saleh goes somewhere else and they got to do whatever the hell they're going to do at DC? Like, maybe those are just the key pieces that he needs, and those are the two that actually stayed here all year when the injuries happen to all other spots? And what if it's reversed next year? I don't know how it's going
to
look like.
You're going to have to find a way to retool it. And this year, I think, kind of broke the mold on what Shanahan has done. You talk about what does Shanahan need. In every double-digit win regular season, they ranked third in rushing, seventh, and second.
This year they were second?
They were 24th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This year they were 24th.
Wow. So this is the outlier.
The outlier. Yeah. Every previous year, like 2019, they go 13-3, second in total rushing yards. They were seventh. They were seventh. They were third 2 years ago when CMC had 1,460 and Mitchell chipped in and the rest. This year you could not run the ball. And we always say, oh, Shanahan's got to be able to run the ball. This year they really couldn't, and they still went 12-5.
But the flex to me with that is we had a caller talk about Brock. Oh, he's a system quarterback. The team's loaded when they had Debo and Ayuk. He didn't have that. I mean, you got the great McCaffrey, and he's great. And where I'm going is how great he is. You didn't have him for much of last year. I'll just say this. How did that go? You guys know crickets.
Yeah.
But you lost everybody else, and you're still in the offs. So it just speaks to how great McCaffrey is.
No doubt. And
like, that was a hill Kyle couldn't climb without him last year. Not saying that was the whole sole reason, but he's lost everybody under the sun, even Brock for eight. But McCaffrey,
red zone.
It was over.
Red zone.
Do we still think McCaffrey's kind of more important than, or you know, better, more important than Purdy?
I do. I don't know where you guys are.
I'm starting to wonder.
No shade at Brock.
Tough to say. I just look at certain metrics. One is third down conversions. This year you had McCaffrey. You were first. Last year you didn't, and you probably were middle of the pack. I don't have it in front of me.
Well, what about the totality of the record last year without McCaffrey for 99% of the season? You didn't sniff the offs.
Well, a couple things. One, your rest disadvantage was profound, the worst in maybe 15 or 20 years. You played five teams off a bye, and you had rugged opponents and a terrible stack. The big one, though, for me, the red zone. Last year you could not score in the red zone, and what did we see against Philadelphia? You need a touchdown. McCaffrey, blah, 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 out to the left, put my foot in the ground. Now I'm coming back to the right. Purdy, pitch and catch, touchdown, win.
They have four red zone opportunities Sunday?
They had three. I think they went 1-for-3.
Well, they had three touchdowns, right?
I think all three touchdowns were in the red zone, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were 2-for-3 in the red, in the red area.
Oh, yeah, the Jennings to McCaffrey was not in the red zone.
Right, and okay, the right. field goal on their second last possession, line. Got down to the 18 and kicked the field goal. Both teams 2-for-3 in the red zone, but last year you got in the red zone and it was,
1-for-3.
Right, what? And then Moody would miss.
Yeah, true, he would miss. 0-for-3, really. Right. Yeah.
All right, what do you guys got coming up today?
We've got Stink, Mark Schlereth at 3. And then John Feliciano at 5. And one thing that we're going to throw out, and I'll ask it to you guys here really quick. If you had every person that is on an NFL team's payroll across the entire NFL,
every
in a pool,
human being in the NFL.
Talking about players, we're talking about coaches, we're talking about general managers. Hell, you can include owners if you want. But players, coaches, general managers, anybody on an NFL payroll. How far down the list do you have to get until you get to Kyle Shanahan in terms of the most valuable individuals in the NFL? Valuable to a team.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, that's a big pool.
I mean, but the first guy that, like, I thought you were going to say, like, okay, let's have a draft.
Yeah, you can think of it that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably,
and you're starting a franchise.
I'd probably take Stafford right now.
Wow.
Just in the playoffs, like where we're at right now,
sure.
Not starting a team.
Mm.
But Shanahan would be... with like McVay / Shanahan, right?
Yeah.
But I have a problem with, I love it, and I'm going to be listening.
I thought you were going to go with Juwan Jennings.
It's taking a player over the player. No, that's what that was going to be my answer.
And that's kind of the conversation, because Josh Allen, I think, would be the consensus number one.
Right,
but
that dude,
I don't know how many other players you get to before you realize the coach, and this coach in particular, is so impactful that you may want to get
Miles
him off the
Garrett.
Board.
Yeah.
He was up there.
Anyways, we'll get into that. Plus, we got Stink coming up.
We'll be listening.
All right, gents, have a great show and bring it home on 95.7 The Game.
Our theme the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh,
all I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It is Willard and Dibs, but no Willard today. He's at jury duty, unfortunately. Apologies, Willard. Instead, it's Dibs and Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, Dibs. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing better than Willard. I think if you want to power rank things you have to do that are kind of irksome, that might only be ahead of long wait at the DMV.
Oh, the DMV is the worst.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Like jury duty, you're sitting there and then it's, you know, come on in. What's in the box? Willard's in the box right now, getting voideered.
I'm gonna knock on all sorts of wood in here. I have never been called in for jury duty.
Wow.
Hopefully it never happens.
Are you registered to vote?
I am.
Okay, that's normally where they get you.
Yeah.
That in the DMV.
Yeah. But so, hopefully I don't get something in the mail coming up soon. But yeah, we'll see.
No doubt. I try to get on juries when I get called into jury duty, but I think they see me as too thirsty, and so.
Why do you try to get on juries?
Just because I feel like I'm a perfect person to weigh in on someone else's fate. I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Shout out Steve Wilkes. I like it.
Usually it's juror number 17. Go home. Settle down. Anyway.
All right. We got a fun show planned for you here. It's Willard and Dibs. Again, Dibs and Grandy with you. We've got Mark Schlereth, the great stink, coming up in 45 minutes at 3 o'clock. We'll talk everything Niners and Seahawks. We'll also pick his brain about what happened over the weekend in Philly, plus some bigger picture questions about the Niners and Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy and all that. That's coming up at 3. John Feliciano is at 5 today, former Niner offensive lineman. We'll talk to him about Trent Williams and a whole lot more. That's coming up at 5. We've got Warriors basketball that tips off at 8 tonight, Dibs. 8 o'clock tip, yep. Warriors versus the Blazers. Denny Avdia out for Portland. More on that later. Warriors Live begins at 7 with that late start. Before we get back to the Niners, though, Dibs, I do want to get to our engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll. Dub Nation, let's get engaged. Before every game, vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on the 95.7 The Game Twitter page, brought to you by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCo.com today. All right, this is something that actually Goo was just talking to us about as we transition between shows. Steve Kerr has committed to the starting lineup of Curry, Moody, Butler, Green, and Post for about a month now. Should the Warriors stick with that lineup or change it? We're asking this because Dibs, Steve was asked about this, I believe, yesterday at practice, and he pointed out that it's actually negative in terms of like the advanced analytics, but he feels good about it still and is planning on sticking with it. But the question we're asking is, should the Warriors stick with that starting lineup? Vote now on Twitter, and we'll share the results later. I would imagine, Dibs, we'll see that same starting five tonight.
And the answer from me is yes. And the subtext of my answer is not who cares, as in we're midway through an NBA year, but it's just the starting lineup. It's not like these five are going to play all 48. So those five usually play between 4 and 6 minutes, I would predict, I would guess. And then new guys here, new guys there. So if you feel comfortable with that five, go ahead and start them. I don't mind.
Yeah, I want to see a change. I want to see D'Anthony Melton get in the starting lineup, Dib. So we can talk more about that later. Again, vote on our Twitter poll now, and we will share the results coming up later during the show, and we'll get into that as well during the Warriors game as well. All right, back to the Niners, though, and specifically, Dibs, back to Kyle Shanahan. The question that we threw out to Steiny and Goo at the very tail end of the crossover there. Let's just say, Dibs, everyone on the NFL teams, all 30 teams' payroll, was in a pool together. That's players, that's coaches, that's general managers, it's everybody in between. And you had the opportunity to, as Steiny put it, you know, draft up from that group. how far down do you have to get until you draft Kyle Shanahan? And where does Kyle Shanahan rank in terms of the most valuable NFL individuals? A single person in the NFL. How far down the list do you have to get until you get to Kyle Shanahan? 888-957-9570. Because I'll give you my rankings in a sec, Dibs, but he is so high up there.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head, I would say he's probably going to be a top five pick. In my opinion, that's how highly I think of Kyle Shanahan.
And I'm just going to say this. I think you're too high.
Wow.
Lucas, go ahead and cut that for later.
Yeah, you cut that. Thanks.
I think that you get to dominant players before you get to what he is, which is a dominant coach. And I would take Myles Garrett ahead of him. You would take certainly Josh Allen ahead of him. Steiny's Matthew Stafford is interesting. I don't think we're looking at a five-year build. It's just kind of right now in the moment. So are there other players, other left tackles, other edge rushers, guys who are really impactful?
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
In a tangible way, Kyle Shanahan's awesome, but I think that if you didn't use a high pick on Shanahan, you could get a coach that is comparable to him a little bit later in the draft.
Mm. All right, so, obviously, I think everyone's starting with quarterbacks, right?
Probably.
Whoever you think is the best quarterback in the NFL.
I think Joe Burrow and,
Josh Allen's number one for me.
Me too. Yeah, just what he's able to do with lesser talent on that team, especially in the passing core, and he's such a running threat. One of only six quarterbacks this year to have more than 400 yards rushing, so he's just an absolute force in the red zone, but yeah, I'm taking Shanahan among coaches in the top three for sure. I think Andy Reid is kind of getting slept on a little bit.
So is it McVay, Shanahan, and Andy Reid?
Yeah, I probably would go Andy Reid first, just on track record, and then I would go Shanahan over McVay, honestly. And maybe it's just recency bias of what he's done this year with this group. But yeah, I would look at other players before I would think about going to Shanahan.
Okay, what other players would you look at? You got the elite of the elite at quarterback, but honestly, there's question marks from a lot of those guys right now other than Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen is the clear, in a way, like number one overall pick that you would take in this hypothetical. Again, if you were to draft every single NFL individual, players, coaches, general managers, in order of, someone that you want to start your franchise with, and again, it's not necessarily like thinking 10 years down the road. You're trying to think in the here and now, which is why quarterbacks would be so incredibly valuable. But, are you taking right now Patrick Mahomes before you take Kyle Shanahan?
He's hurt, but if you took away the injury, probably.
Probably.
I think just because of what he can do for a lesser team, kind of like we talked about before, I do think you look at, edge rusher guys or pass rushers. Maybe it's Aiden Hutchinson. You think about a guy who's a real game wrecker, or TJ Watt is another guy who can come in and, change a game. The Texans have a couple that you'd have to put your eyes on as far as, players who can just come in and absolutely change games. And so pass rusher, left tackle, quarterback, coach, probably the four most important human beings. And I mean, GM as well. You'd have to look at some of the general managers and figure out who is doing the best at year in and year out creating good teams.
Yeah, okay, so 888-957-9570. You got a pool of every person in the NFL, everybody that's on an NFL team's payroll. That's players, it's coaches, it's general managers. You can include owners if you want. I don't think there's any single owner out there in the NFL that's more valuable than any quarterback or the best head coaches in the NFL in terms of what they bring to a franchise, the value they bring to a franchise day in and day out. How far down the list do you have to get until you get to Kyle Shanahan? I'm taking Josh Allen number one overall. I think I'm with you. If we're going to ignore the injury of Patrick Mahomes, you're taking Patrick Mahomes as well. I'm going to look past the injury history of Joe Burrow as well, and I'm taking Joe Burrow. That's going to be my top three in some order, with specifically Josh Allen number one overall. But beyond that, Dibs, I'm having a really hard time making a case for anybody else ahead of Kyle Shanahan. And maybe that sounds crazy, and you can give me a call, 888-957-9570, and let me know. But other than perhaps that holy trinity of quarterback play, I think Kyle Shanahan is the most valuable person, individual, in the NFL. more so than a Lamar Jackson, who I'm not completely, you know, sold on for the future, more so than a Myles Garrett, who I know you threw out as someone you would take before Kyle Shanahan. And I would take Kyle Shanahan more before I take an Andy Reid or a Sean McVay. I think Kyle Shanahan, Dibs, is the fourth most valuable single individual in the entire NFL world, and he's only behind three elite, elite, elite quarterbacks.
That's interesting to put it that way, and that's lofty praise for Shanahan, and he's had a great year, and he's coming off just a maestro performance in Philadelphia. A lot of times when we do this, I think about, you know, the differential between the best player at a spot and who's behind him. And for this, that's where Myles Garrett, to me, becomes a guy you have to take very high in this draft, because the edge rusher behind him is good, but not as close to Myles Garrett as McVay or Andy is to Kyle. If you think Kyle's the best, McVay and, you know, other coaches now, Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson, you know, you've got a lot of good young coaches now in the NFL. D'Amico Ryan's doing it differently. He's not the same offensive play caller. You know, Mike Vrabel, who might win his second coach of the year. I think the difference between the best coach and the fifth best coach is closer than it is at quarterback and at edge rusher, for example. So it's, maybe it's a cop-out to look at it that way, but I think when you're looking at most important people, you need a quarterback, you need a left tackle, and you need a pass rusher, and you need a good coach. Certainly, you need all those things.
Okay, let's say the Niners would replace Kyle Shanahan with your run-of-the-mill average, you know, coach. But say you had a healthier season at those positions that you're talking about. Say Nick Bosa was healthy. You know, you talk about an edge rusher. Say, you know, Trent Williams has mostly played this entire year, but he was without any major injuries, as he's basically been so far this season. That's the left tackle that you're talking about. That's the edge rusher that you're talking about. And say Brock Purdy didn't get injured with turf toe. Though those three things happen, Purdy stays healthy, Bosa stays healthy, Trent stays healthy, but you replace Kyle Shanahan.
Fred stays healthy too. You might as well throw him in there.
Right. Well, did you point to linebacker as one of the most important positions?
No, you're right. I didn't. But yeah, to your point, like you're going to say, would coach number 10 be able to come in here and do as well as Kyle did?
Do more than what Kyle did with Kyle's roster, which was an incredibly injured roster, versus that average coach getting a healthier roster at those key positions. Who would have done more?
It's close, but like the average coach, I don't know who it is. If we're talking about LaFleur as the average coach, Sean McDermott, I mean, people don't give him the love that maybe he deserves. Hard to find an average coach when 10 guys lost their job, you know, and including Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh. So would they do more than Shanahan? Probably not, but they could probably do as well. If you had your quarterback and your edge rusher the whole year, certainly.
I feel like you're disrespecting Kyle Shanahan a little bit.
Not really,
what he did this year.
I'm putting credence on the fact that you had a backup quarterback for 8 games, and you know you didn't have your edge rusher for, what, 13 games?
Somewhere around there.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And you couldn't rush the passer all year in large part because of it.
And you won 12 games.
Yep.
Because of Kyle Shanahan. I don't know. It's interesting. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. How far down the list do you have to get of just NFL individuals in terms of, you know, most valuable individuals, players, coaches, general managers, until you get to Kyle Shanahan? For me, he's in my top five, and I think I'm taking him number four after the three elite quarterbacks in the NFL. We're sponsored by Life Source Water Systems. Time for your calls when we come back at 888-957-9570. It's Dibs and Grandy. I'm in for Willard. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. It's game day, Dub Nation. Mark Grandy is on the pre and post tonight. Get locked in.
Thanks for that, Coach.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm working double duty today.
Oh, wow.
And it's an 8 o'clock tip, which means postgame is probably going to run up until like midnight tonight.
We go around the association.
We go around the association, both pregame and postgame.
That's the thing.
Uh-huh. Got to check on all the scores from around the league.
Absolutely. And a little bit of chit-chat.
Oh, with Tim and Tom, it's the best.
Especially when, you know, it's a win and Tom might crack one open. Or if it's a loss and you might crack one open.
Either way,
there's going to be some...
He'll crack one open.
Yeah, there's going to be some sipping and some chatting.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Grandy man is just idly sitting by, and you'll do it from there?
Yes. So it's an 8 o'clock game, which means Warriors Live is until 7, so I got time to scurry over there once we're off the air at 6.
Good. And is there a time where they like start kicking you out and they're sweeping up and they're like, go to the exits?
So it's funny that you ask, because sometimes we'll do pre- and post-games for Warriors from various like restaurants in Thrive City.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we'll be out there somewhere on Thursday for the show, kind of similar to that, where they'll host you at one of those spots. And I'm actually going to be doing pregame tonight from Splash. Splash at Thrive City. You've been to Splash a number of times. And it was supposed to be that I was going to be there for postgame as well. But because I'm not going to be on the air till 11, which I believe is when they close, there's just no point in having me out there at that point because the game's going to be so late. So I'll be in Chase Center, which means no one's going to kick me out. I could hang out there till 4 a.m. if I really wanted. I'll be fine. I won't. Of course.
Right.
But I can be there all night if I really want it.
And you know, I don't use this phrase often, if ever, but it's a must win tonight. Portland has owned you. Portland's 3-0 against you.
Steph scored 48 against them and they still lost. Steph scored 38 against them and they still lost.
Yeah.
But Denny Avdija is out, Dibs.
Big.
Denny Avdija is out for the Blazers. So we'll see if the Warriors can get a win and wipe the bad taste off their from that Atlanta loss. My God.
Yeah.
I think Willard said it on the crossover yesterday. Willard was pretending, you know, to be the Warriors and said, thank you, 49ers.
Totally.
Because if the Niners did not do that, we would be ripping the Warriors for that performance against the Hawks. There's no doubt. Speaking of the 49ers, though, Dibs, I'm just reacting to this amazing Niners season and, you know, Steiny and Goo arguing over whether it's magical or not. And it's on a path to potentially getting there. I will say, not the season as a whole, but the job Kyle Shanahan this year has done, Dibs, has been magical. And me just thinking about that, and obviously it could take a step towards getting even more magical for Shanahan and potentially a magical run for the team if they win on Saturday versus the Seahawks. But just thinking of everything that the Niners have been through this year, and yet they find themselves in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs after having a chance to be the one seed and then winning in Philadelphia versus the defending Super Bowl champions without so many key players. You lose George Kittle in that game as well. And it just struck me this morning, Dibs, as I woke up and was thinking about the show today. How valuable is Kyle Shanahan across the entire NFL? And how we open the show and what we're going to take your calls and texts on, 888-957-9570, how far down the list of NFL individuals, that's coaches, it's players, it's general managers, do you have to go in terms of ranking the most valuable individuals? How far down that list do you have to go until you get to Kyle Shanahan? And I said it earlier, I'll say it again. For me, it's what I view the three best quarterbacks in the NFL. That's Josh Allen, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Joe Burrow, and then it's Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, what he's done for the Niners, Dibs, is offer them a cheat code. It is, we're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL, even without one of the elite quarterbacks, without an all-pro at edge rusher, without an all-pro at linebacker, right now without an all-pro at tight end. We're going to do it with a relatively no-name defense. We're going to do it with wide receiver threes and wide receiver fours. We're going to do it with a relatively unknown offensive line other than your star Hall of Fame-worthy left tackle. Only thing I need is that left tackle, an all-pro at running back who can catch balls out of the backfield, and a great defensive coordinator. But if you have me, things are going to go smoothly almost no matter what else happens. I think he is a cheat code, and what he's done this season, Dibs, has proven to me that he's way more valuable than almost everybody else in the entire NFL.
Yeah, this season, but I can't get beyond last season when your cheat code coach went 6-11, and you had your starting quarterback get hurt, and you couldn't win. You had your star running back get hurt, and you couldn't win. And by and large, it was a year that was kind of beset by injuries like this one was, and you went 6-11. Tougher schedule, rest differential, I mentioned it during the crossover, sure, bad stack, you had to go to Buffalo and Green Bay, all the rest of it we can pick and pop on the reasons this year was better and the reasons last year was worse. I think that in the NFL, it still ultimately comes down to your guys. Lucas said in our meeting, the Jimmys and Joes, as opposed to the X's and O's, the Jimmys and Joes are more important than even the mastermind Kyle Shanahan, because last year he was still as brilliant. I would argue he was as smart last year. Maybe he got a little smarter this year with a little bit more experience, but you didn't have the horses last year, and you went up against teams that you couldn't beat because your backup quarterback wasn't as good. You didn't have Christian McCaffrey, on and on and on. Ricky Pearsall was hurt. Who could have seen that coming? But Shanahan was masterful, and they went 6-11. This year he was masterful, and they went 12-5. So does that move him up the draft board? Sure, because what he did this year is really, really impressive. I'm not taking anything away from him, but still, in the NFL, ultimately, you've got to have the horses, and you also have to have the coaches. And you look at Philadelphia today, they've moved off their offensive coordinator. He hasn't been fired, but it's a classic. We're going to reassign you and demote you and kind of force you to leave, like Nick Sorensen.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say.
The Sorensen thing where it's like, yeah, you might be our special teams coordinator. You might not be. Just stick around and we'll find a spot for you.
It's like, no, this is insulting. I'm going to leave.
Yes, I'm going to leave and then maybe get run from Dallas as well. Yeah. But that's where I will give you some credence to what you're saying. Because
what's up? It's Draymond Green back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Because you need both. You need talented players. Philly has it. You need great coaching. They don't have it. And the Niners have both, and that's why this year has been such a delight and such a surprise is even when they've lost some of their high-talented guys, they've still been able to win. And that is where I give Shanahan the credit that he deserves.
Yeah, and obviously, like last year, you're right, and there's a couple of injury years that you can point to and say, well, if he was able to overcome it this year, why wasn't he able to overcome it in years past? And probably, I mean, one of the answers is, well, this year he decided it's important to go and get a backup quarterback, and that kept them afloat. And he's obviously a big part of Mac Jones's success, but you got to give credit to Mac Jones for that. Now, what is unique about Kyle Shanahan and where this conversation, I think, you know, would lean in him being more valuable than not is because he's also a head coach that is essentially acting as the GM as well and has so much control over personnel. So he's basically doing two jobs in one, and he's doing so much more than just calling the offensive plays. I mean, you don't survive a season like this, Dibs, if your head coach is just the offensive genius. I know he doesn't like to be called that, but that's all he does. Like, everyone points to, and we were just talking about it during the crossover, the culture that they've established here. And they've gone through some weird things, like the Aiyuk thing, which they knew about in the summer, by the way. And the public did not know until whenever that was, October or November. But they survived that. There was the mini Juwan Jennings drama early in the season when he was holding out around training camp. And it didn't really impact them in any major, meaningful, negative way. No. Like, this is a head coach who not only is a master at scheming up an offense that is an offense without a ton of talent right now other than the quarterback and the running back against more talented defenses and is doing, frankly, a pretty darn good job at all of that. But this is also a head coach who's in charge of the personnel decisions and in charge of setting the tone for the entire organization and providing an atmosphere and an energy that the rest of the team picks up on and uses and leans on to get through tough moments like this.
Yeah, and I'll even take it a step further beyond that and beyond the field where you get, after last year, you go 6-11 and Robert Saleh lost his job in New York and he was a consultant in Green Bay with, you know, mutual friend LaFleur, and then that ends and, you know, you talk to Saleh and he says, yeah, Kyle, I'd love to come back. And Kyle says, well, I'm going to give you the first five picks and stuff, and you can build this defense. Because I'm sure Saleh looked at it and said, your defense is struggling right now. We need some young bodies. I know just the guys. And Kyle probably said, yeah, I'll give you the first three picks. And Saleh said, give me seven. Kyle said four. He said six. All right, you get the first five. And so the fact that you got Gus Bradley in and you've built up Clay Kubiak to now, he's a hot offensive coordinator candidate. He's probably going to get a job somewhere else and become a real OC. I know he's kind of is in name here, but
yeah, not
Kyle's
really
grooming him to get that next job, and Saleh will get a head coaching job now or next year. And so that to me is a part of what Shanahan does. He coaches in a way to where he attracts people like Gus Bradley, a guy who's been in the league a long time, and he might be the new defensive coordinator if Saleh leaves, or he might be someone else's DC. Kyle creates an atmosphere where players can come in. He's a straight shooter, and they're going to do basically what Kyle tells them, and you're going to be able to do that. And the coaches, it's the same thing. Like, I want you to come in and coach this group and, you know, be a guy on our staff. And if you do well and we do well, then you get to move on and I'll find the next guy.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. You got the pool of all NFL individuals, players, coaches, general managers together, and you're drafting those individuals to build your team with. How far down the list do you have to get until you get to Kyle Shanahan? For me, he's fourth behind, in my opinion, the three best quarterbacks in the league, Joe Burrow, Patrick, or in order, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. And then I'm picking Kyle Shanahan. That's how highly I think of Kyle Shanahan and all of the impact that he has on an NFL team. What do you think? 888-957-9570. Ben is in Oakland and wants to weigh in. What's up, Ben? You're on Willard and Dibs, but Dibs and Grandy with you. What do you got?
Let's see. I thought we were doing fade the Dibbers, not fade the Shanahan. Dibs, name me another season where a coach achieved more with less. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's a subjective question. So if I gave you an answer, it would be an opinion. Unlike fade the Dibber, where I went 4-2 last weekend.
Aren't you paid to give your opinion? Seems like you're running away from the question.
I'm not, but you're asking me to name another season, and I'd have to pick through all of the other injuries. And honestly, right now, they've made it to the final eight. Now, if they go on to win the Super Bowl, yeah, we can start using superlatives about what an amazing season this was. And I do think it's a little short-sighted, Ben, to give all the credit to just Kyle Shanahan when the defensive coordinator upgrade is profound.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Saleh helped a lot, but what we're doing is absolutely amazing, and it's all about belief. And I think a lot of the belief comes from the head coach. And if you look at last year, if Bell doesn't drop that pass, if Moody doesn't miss that kick, it changes the whole psychology of the entire team. So if you're trying to say, well, he wasn't able to do it last year, every year is different. The ball bounces differently every way. Two or three plays last year, and we would have been right in it. Oh, I saw you at Safeway the other day. I run into you all the time. In real life, you're like super nice. Why are you so snarky on air?
Because I'm paid to give my opinion. Ben, I believe that those were your words. So I could just be here in the good Dib lollipop, but we're not doing that here. We're going to have edge and opinion, and I get what you're saying.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben, you're not wrong, and I think that the most underrated part of Shanahan's coaching tenure is exactly what Ben was just saying. And it's, you know, the effort that the guys give. It's the culture. It's his genuine nature with his players where he's a straight shooter. He's not a BS guy. He's not a rah-rah guy. And his players play for him. And the other thing that I've been mentioning is the coaches want to come here and coach for him. And the Shanahan coaching tree, while they don't always go out and get head coaching jobs and stick and win, although D'Amico Ryans is off to a nice little start there.
Man, that defense.
People want to coach with Shanahan because he lets them do their thing. The story he told about Clay Kubiak saying, and he reiterated it today with the trick play where, you know, he and Clay talk about every single play and he empowers his young assistant to be creative. And as a result, Clay Kubiak is going to go out there and get an offensive coordinator job here.
Yeah, and the point that Ben made is also the point that a few people are making on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, and you can join the convo 888-957-9570. Multiple 650 numbers chiming in. Saleh and Shanahan have to come in a package deal, and then I'd consider that duo being a top 10 pick. A different 650 number wrote, don't think they would be where they are without Saleh, and that's absolutely right. And Shanahan hiring Saleh, like, he doesn't get a ton of credit for that because that was a no-brainer. Like, absolutely, you go and hire Robert Saleh. But Robert Saleh first got a defensive coordinator job by working under Kyle Shanahan and working his way up. So, like, there is, of course, some relationship between Shanahan and Saleh that Shanahan deserves some credit for. Wherever Saleh goes, and if he's successful or not, he will be part of the Shanahan tree. Him hiring him back for this year was like a no-duh decision. Like, absolutely, you do that if you have the opportunity, right, especially after his experiences with Wilkes and Sorensen. But
I mean, Wilkes, they had a good defense. It just didn't, I don't think that it,
they didn't see eye to eye.
No, they didn't.
And Shanahan, like, this is by no means me saying Shanahan's perfect. Like, I think we probably talked about this on this show and off the air. When they hired Steve Wilkes, it frankly, to me, didn't make a whole lot of sense because Shanahan said priority number one for that DC was to find someone who has run their system and wants to run their system. And Steve Wilkes had never run their system, and it was kind of like putting a square peg into a round hole.
Right.
So Shanahan has made a lot of mistakes. The caller, Ben, brought up some of those mistakes. He said, well, if Jake Moody just made a kick, they would have been a whole lot better last year. And that's true, but who drafted Jake Moody?
Exactly.
And who kept him around for as long as he did?
And you drafted Trey Lance, and I don't want to re-adjudicate the draft, but interesting what you say about Saleh. For Shanahan, it is a no-brainer. He's been here. He's been successful here. You know him well. The thing that impresses me is for Saleh, it maybe wasn't a complete no-brainer, but he wanted to be with Shanahan, so the job is offered. He takes the job. That, to me, speaks very well of Shanahan, where not that Saleh had his pick of defensive coordinator jobs, but he was in Green Bay with LaFleur, and he maybe could have shopped around or gone to college and been a head coach, or he has options. He's a good football guy, and yet he had this chance, and it might be just this year. It might be 2 years. Who knows? But he jumped at it, and that says a lot about Kyle.
Absolutely. It does. And they probably both, you know, came to the agreement that he'd return as DC, knowing that he was going to leave and become a head coach again soon. If it wasn't this offseason, it would probably be next. It seems like it's going to be this offseason, although there's quietly a lot of really good candidates out there for a head coach. For a head coach opening right now, there are, of course, a ton of jobs open, so we'll see how it all plays out. I would venture to guess that Saleh is going to get another job, but we shall see. I also think, like, in the NFL, Dibs, there is, and maybe we could ask Mark Schlereth this, and he's coming up in about 10 minutes here on Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you in for Willard. I think the NFL, and I know you and I were talking about this off the air, the NFL is a sport and it's a league where I think coaching has the biggest impact. And, you know, of course, a baseball manager can have a big impact. Their gut decisions, those 50-50 calls on should I pinch hit, you know, should I bring this lefty into the pen, like those things are all very tangible, easy to tell the difference that a coach makes, a manager makes. For basketball, you know, we blame Steve Kerr for so much. Like, he obviously has a big impact, but I don't think you can feel play in and play out the impact that a good NFL coach can have on a game, on a season, more than in this sport. I feel like the head coaching impact in the NFL is so much more than probably any other sport, at least major North American sport that we watch.
It's so different. And if you think about an NFL team, Shanahan heading into this game on Saturday, well, you've got to come up with a game plan with Clay Kubiak and your staff. Then you've got to teach that to the players, and they already have run these plays a lot, but you're going to let them know what we're really focused on. You got to check in with special teams and the defense. You got to coach the coaches. You got to make sure with the doctors that the guys who are getting healthy are going to be available. And then by the time you get up there, then you have to go out there and execute a game plan with a 40-second play clock over and over and over, scrutinized to the hilt in every single play. And yeah, like Ben was saying, Ronnie Bell doesn't catch the ball on a wide open throw and you lose. And even in this last game against Philly, and you'll probably know this, but on the punt, did that hit the Niner helmet? When the Niners punt and it bounced off somebody's helmet, and then Sky Moore scrambled over and recovered it.
That was weird because none of the Eagles reacted like it was a muff. So I just thought it was off of an Eagle.
Yeah, Moore ran after it like he
wasn't scared.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah. Which I guess if it's 50-50, you might as well go after it.
Right.
Better to be safe than sorry.
But. And the throw from Juwan Jennings, if he airs that out two more yards and it's incomplete, the game turns. Even though the play call was genius and the spot and everything. So yes, in football, the coach has so much more of an impact. Basketball, to me, it's almost more about all the time that you don't have the game. Like managing 15 egos and doling out playing time and, you know, trying to deal with a small, small group and keep them, you know, all kind of tugging on the same rope.
Unified.
In baseball, it's a little bit more like, you know, the spreadsheet and, you know, basically situations and analytics. But at the same time, you also have to, you know, kind of manage guys and make sure that everyone's getting enough playing time and, you know, trying to keep that clubhouse culture alive.
Yeah, like in baseball, feels like of late with the analytics movement, the impact of a manager has significantly decreased within the last like 10 or 15 years.
It has,
it absolutely
but
feels that
as
way.
As we saw with Gabe Kapler, where if you just go straight by the spreadsheet, you're going to alienate guys, and if you don't have that human touch, then, you know, certain players are not going to feel as comfortable when they're out there just because, oh boy, here comes a lefty, and I'm left-handed, so now I got to look over my shoulder because I'm going to get pinch hit for, even though I have two hits already.
Yeah, but you're right about like an NFL or an NBA coach like Steve Kerr. You ask him how many times he calls a play over the course of in a game. How many times he calls a play? He says we're running this action on this play. It's not all that often. Like they're kind of just freelancing out there often. Like out of a timeout, they're running an inbounds play under their basket, and Steve Kerr is very good at that. And you know, if there is like free throws, they'll call something and they'll run their split action or whatever it is. But it's been so ingrained in them, they kind of just run that naturally anyway. You're right. The NBA coach's impact, I think, is more felt off the court, but an NFL coach's impact is felt off the field, but then also on every single play that's called. And for Shanahan's case, every single offensive play that's called, because he's the one in charge of that. And if he doesn't find the right moment to call the sky bang reverse pass or whatever
it
was, then he could have identified that as being an option correctly. He could have practiced it well and inputted it into the system throughout the week leading up to the game. But if he just calls it at the wrong time, all that's for naught. Like, there's so many things that have to go right for the coach to have that positive impact, and that plays a great example of it.
And I think that one thing that we lose sight of in our business and as fans is just how many coaches the Niners have. And if you are Kyle Shanahan and you're open to input, then you get input from a lot of other smart people, and you have the wherewithal to take input and maybe change your mind. And I'm thinking about that second quarter timeout when they're going to go for it on 4th and 2. And maybe they had like a, you know, show of hands, who thinks we should kick? I don't even know how that process went, but they used a timeout, decided to kick the field goal, and ultimately that led to a win.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think Kyle Shanahan, specifically this year, is having as big of an impact on any team in the league, and any person in the league, maybe other than a Josh Allen, or the best individual players of this entire season. Kyle Shanahan this year has been as valuable as just about any other individual in the entire NFL. And I don't think you can really argue about that this year, given everything the Niners have been through. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Coming up next, Mark Schlereth. He joins us next. We'll ask him about everything related to Niners and Eagles, plus look ahead to the Seahawks matchup coming up on Saturday. Plus, I think you're going to want to hear what Schlereth has to say about the Shanahan conversation. We'll do that coming up next. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you on 95.7 The Game.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.